the deal will go to plan. I mean, you know, for example, we were just joking, saying it's the last of the mince pies left this morning. Well, here anyway, I don't know about you, we still got some industrial quantity of them left at home. You know, thank goodness I got the ones that are best before January. Just a shame it's January next year and not 2020. But, you know, and all those things, those great plans and those intentions you had back in October, you know, I made our Christmas cake. And that's great, fantastic. And it's my contribution to Christmas Day food, along with the pudding. I make those. But something just happened, and I said to Liz just before I came out, the dog's not very well today, that's why she's not here, I'm afraid. I said to her, I will marzipan the Christmas cake today. It has occurred to me I might be able to salvage this by hanging on and rolling the marzipan into 11 balls and turning it into a simnel cake. But, you know, anyway, congratulations, you know, you've survived Christmas for another year. Maybe you loved it. Maybe it's felt like a feat of endurance to get through. Last year, the Independent newspaper reported that the average UK family spent £342 on presents, with £303 of that going on the credit card. The Guardian thought it was closer to £450 on the plastic, leaving, according to the website thisismoney.com, a total national Christmas credit card debt of £8.5 billion. And that's not all. One in eight families making sacrifices to pay for Christmas will apparently go on to delay paying other bills, with one in ten of those families even delaying paying their mortgage or their rent in order to be able to fund the Christmas expenses. Anyway, about 2 weeks after their initial debt article, the Independent newspaper reported that at the start of 2018, 7.9 million people were likely to fall behind in their finances in January after spending too much at Christmas. And I know the Easter eggs have started to appear in the shops. I saw the mini eggs in Sainsbury's on Friday. But, you know, it seems that the only good news of Easter for some is that, on average, apparently, Easter is the date when most people have paid off their Christmas debt. And then there's the problems with family relationships. January the 3rd has been nicknamed Divorce Day by solicitors, because they see a spike during the first few days of the year in their business, as couples who've managed to hold it together in the run-up to Christmas finally crack. And it's not just husband and wife. Several years ago, The Guardian reported, Christmas is a time when families all over the country get together and remind themselves of all the reasons they're not together for the rest of the year. And a flavour of how many people feel is one woman who wrote on Mumsnet, I'm now dreading Christmas this year, as it is the first where it is totally clear my mother-in-law intensely dislikes me before she even arrives. Sad, that, isn't it? Well done if you've survived then. But here's some genuinely encouraging news as we look for the last time in this series at why Jesus came at Christmas. You see, he came to bind up broken hearts. Let me be clear. It's not that Christmas is a bad time of year, but nowhere in the Bible are we instructed to get ourselves into debt or to build up so many expectations and get so stressed that we bring to breaking point any cracks in our relationships or bank accounts in order to celebrate the coming of Christ. No, so this is a fallen world. And what happens at Christmas time is that we, by our own choosing, magnify those problems. We get carried away, don't we? And we put all of our own expectations and desires and frustrations into the mix, and we create a concentrated and sometimes extremely toxic version of everyday life. I'm not saying there aren't lots of good things about Christmas and the celebrations. There are. And many people have wonderful Christmas times. But for some people, it is far from that. And for others, it's the rest of the year that's about to start that brings all the heartache and the pain that I've just described. But here's good news. I love the carol, God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen. Let's not worry about being PC here. I think it means everyone, okay? But it goes through the Christmas story and the gospel, and it reminds us that these are tidings of comfort and joy. And I think you can have both or either. Christ's coming can bring you joy, and it can bring you comfort. But even if you're not feeling very joyful, the Bible tells us that Jesus came at Christmas to bring us comfort. comfort. Back in the Old Testament, Isaiah puts it like this: "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted." What he literally says here is to bandage up the brokenhearted. And this is the Old Testament scripture that in Luke chapter 4, Jesus reads out in Nazareth and then declares is fulfilled in him. He's come to bandage up the brokenhearted. If you had a particularly tough Christmas, or if you're in the midst of a tough Christmas, or if you're just perhaps simply exhausted and desperate for a little you time, then take comfort from God's word. Jesus will not be an extra burden to you. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smouldering wick he will not snuff out, says Matthew, quoting Isaiah again, speaking of Jesus. You know that bent branch on the Christmas tree? We'd snap it off, wouldn't we, just to make it look a bit neater, a bit nicer. That smouldering wick on the festive candle, struggling to stay alight as the wax melts and smothers it, it's neither lit nor extinguished. We do that thing where we sort of go, lick our fingers and then go, tss. Snuffed out. Chuck it away. If you feel like that bent branch or that candle about to drown in its own wax, then know that you are not unsightly or inconvenient to Jesus. He won't snap you off. He won't snuff you out. Isaiah says Jesus will bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. The reason Jesus came at Christmas was not to burden you further. You must come to all the Christmas services. You ought to feel guilty about enjoying yourself at Christmas with all the trappings. This is a somber festival. God sent his son because you are a sinner. Well, yes, he did. And yes, you are. And yes, I'm sorry I've woken up Noah. Sorry about that. Jesus came to save you and me from our sins, not to grind our noses in them. He came to replace your mourning at your own sinfulness with joy at his love and his salvation. Instead of despair weighing us down like a drab and heavy coat with pockets full of terrible things, Jesus came to give us, as Isaiah put it, a bright and joyful garment of praise. Instead of grey ashes of sorrow, Jesus came to give us a crown of beauty. See, this isn't a grin and bear it theology or a put a brave face on things spirituality. This is the knowledge that through faith in Jesus, his birth, his life, his death, his resurrection, we can have access to and a real loving relationship with the holy and just God. And nothing and no one can ever take that away from us. Through the death and resurrection of the man born amongst the animals in Bethlehem, the Son of God born of the Virgin, we will become children of God, adopted into his family, co-heirs with Christ. Even in the darkest and the bleakest moments, that knowledge can bring us perhaps joy and at the very least comfort. So what did you get for Christmas this year? An amazing present? A fantastic time with friends or family? Everything you wanted? Or perhaps it was loneliness. Perhaps it was physical or emotional abuse in some form. Perhaps it was arguments. Perhaps it was a feeling of inadequacy. Perhaps it was just disappointment. If you had a wonderful Christmas, that's lovely, that's great. But if you're here today, quietly feeling broken and shattered and in pieces, as you look ahead to 2019, know that Jesus came to bandage up the brokenhearted, to heal, to restore, and to love you. He came at Christmas to do God's will, to bring light into a dark world. He revealed God's glory and brought great joy. He paid our ransom and saved sinners so that we could be at peace. But he didn't do that for the righteous and the perfect. Remember, he said, the well don't need a doctor. He'd come for the sick. He'd come for those who needed him. He came for the broken. And he was broken for us. That's how he did the Father's will. That's how he glorified God. That's the Jesus who was born at Bethlehem, who lives by his Spirit in you right now. That's the Jesus who came at Christmas, Emmanuel, God with us. Amen.